We receive clothing, medical supplies, bedding and blankets, medical equipment, and it goes into a sorting room where we have volunteers that sort that.
I invite you to take one of the pew Bibles there in front of you and follow along as I read the central text of the day. It's from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, the first 12 verses. And if you need a page reference to find it quickly, it's page number 1097 in the pew Bible. When they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they didn't find them, they dragged Jason and some of the other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. So let me give you the outline of the message. I want to talk about curiosity, that eagerness to examine that we see in the Bereans, something that was commended. What does it mean to be curious? I got some examples of science and faith that I'll share. And notice that Jesus uses curiosity in the parables, in the way he asked questions, in the way he built relationships. Curiosity can come to our reading of Scriptures in a way that I think makes it even more valuable. Curiosity can help us grow in our faith. And it's got a key link to evangelism. So, the word for the day is curiosity. It's a funny word. It has a spelling that would make spelling bees and Scrabble games more challenging. For those who are into spelling, show the word there, slide 3. That's how you spell it. But we wouldn't expect it because it looks like it should have another U, right? English word speakers, writers. But there it is, unusual, interesting. I like the definition there, the first one, very straightforward. The desire to learn or know about anything. Inquisitiveness. Let me test your acquaintance with the word. I've got a few statements here, and I'm going to ask you to fill in the blank with the word curiosity. So this is our call response for the morning. So try this one. Blank killed the cat. Yeah, well, you know what? Actually, the original saying wasn't curiosity, it was care killed the cat. Worry killed the cat. And we do know that excessive worry and anxiety will cut years off of our lives. But it's not curiosity that's to blame. And as I talk about curiosity and invite us to be more curious, I'm not inviting us to do something unhealthy. Second one, November 26, 2011. For those who follow matters of space and exploration, NASA launched an SUV-sized robot to the Gale Crater on Mars. The ship was named? That's right. In our text from Acts, the Bereans are praised with these words. The Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. In other words, they were praised for their... You've got it. The teens in our lives have some good news to bring us. And it was hearing and reading this notice about the next generation and the good news in it for us Christians that brought me to this theme for the day. And I'm going to put this good news right at the beginning because we tend to remember the things that a person says first and last. We kind of forget the things in the middle. So this is the most important thing to take away. It's some good news. Remember this, if nothing else. The following was quoted in an email newsletter, and as you will see, there's a growing level of curiosity about matters of faith, especially among young people in the United States. Here's a summary of the research by the Barna Group. The teens in your lives may be more open to having conversations about God than you think. Barna's study, The Open Generation in the United States, the report reveals that U.S. teens, Christians and not Christians, are largely interested in learning more about Jesus throughout their lives. This is the trend. Over 3 in 4 U.S. teens, 77%, say in this survey that they are at least somewhat motivated to continue learning about Jesus throughout the rest of their lives. And less than 1 in 5 said they were unmotivated. If you look at that chart, the two on the left, 52% and 25%, that was a response of them answering the question, are you motivated to continue learning about Jesus Christ? This is encouraging news. Most of today's teens say they want to know about Jesus. In Barna's research, it's also pointed out that there's an openness and a curiosity about spiritual matters among today's teens and young adults. This generation tends to believe there's something out there more important, more powerful than themselves. Still, many remain hesitant to engage in religion or church going. But here's the takeaway. Church leaders should recognize that teens' openness to learning about Jesus represents a significant opportunity for meaningful engagement. It is going to require some thoughtful approach, given that Gen Z are hesitant about religion and church membership. We leaders would do well to create a space for open dialogue where teens can explore their questions about Jesus without being pressured. It's also crucial to understand that while these teens express interest in Jesus, they may approach faith differently than previous generations. Furthermore, authenticity and relevance are key. We need to be prepared to address difficult questions honestly and demonstrate how Jesus and the Bible relate to the world that they are living in today. Now, that research focused on youth, but I have a hunch that there is a curiosity about faith that is found in all ages, all around us, and that is good news. I want us to be curious people and to bring that into more of our relationships, because it can be a doorway through which people can be invited by the Holy Spirit, enabled by our conversations, to enter a saving relationship with Jesus. Curiosity is good for us, and it's good for others. Let me just take a slight turn and just talk of some common everyday examples. Yeah, there's Mr. Newton. Apple fell on his head. He wrinkled his brow and said, "Why didn't it go sideways? Why didn't it go up?" And we have the theory of gravity. We have the theory of relativity. Albert Einstein questioned how light and time behaved. He did a lot of thought experiments, just wondering out loud before you would sit down with pencil and paper and do the math to prove a point. I enjoy this one about Einstein because my dad used to say, "You know, if I could just roll up the highway and get on the end and then unroll it, I'd get home quick." And as I read Einstein's theory about time, I realized that my dad was doing the same thought experiments that Einstein was doing. Curiosity. Penicillin. Alexander Fleming noticed, had a petri dish sitting on the table, and the window was open, and some debris flew in, and when he looked at the dish, he noticed that the bacteria on the dish died. Something had landed in there, and the bacteria died. Now, he could have just thrown it away, something wasted. But instead, he scratched his head, and he looked closer. What is that? Why did that happen? And what do we have? Penicillin. When it came to x-rays, William Röntgen saw a glow on a screen while he was working with cathode rays. What is this? And we have x-rays. Microwave ovens. Percy Spencer was observed, had a chocolate bar in his pocket, and he was working around radar. And that made him curious. Why did my Snickers melt? What is this? So the next time you pop corn in your microwave, you can thank a melted Snicker bar. Now, when it came to Velcro, I had to have a little help here to find a sample of Velcro. And you recognize this sound? Oh, preschool teachers and kindergarten teachers and those shoes put together with Velcro. Isn't that something you hate? Because kids find it. So, but do you know how it started? A fellow was brushing the hair on his dog, and he found some stickers that just wouldn't let go. And he got closer, and he studied, and he found that hook and loop of the weed, Velcro. His name was George Demestro. Thank you, George. A fellow whose name, I'm sure it's a French name, I'm just going to call him Alexandre. He noticed that if the sun fell on an energy cell, you got power. Ta-da! What do we have? Solar panels. And there are a thousand more of these kinds of examples of things that just started from a furrowed brow and a, what's going on here? That a curious mindset wouldn't let go. Now, in our context of faith, there is curiosity galore. The Bereans in Acts that we just read about, that was true of them. But here are some others. How about Moses, he was traveling through the desert area, saw a bush on fire. It was on fire, but it wasn't consumed. And what does it say? He turned aside to see what it was. Life-changing, history-changing curiosity. The Queen of Sheba came to Solomon and asked a lot of questions and discovered God's wisdom through him. There's an example of Philip. As he's talking with Jesus, he simply said, "Would you show us the Father?" And of course, Jesus responded, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How about the whole book of Job? It is a question and answer and discussion from beginning, middle, and end about the topics of suffering and justice. How does this make sense? How about Nicodemus? Came to Jesus with questions at night, the original Nick at Night. Questions. And Zacchaeus, short fellow, wanted to see Jesus. I wonder why he wanted to see him. Maybe there was a debate back home and he just wanted to see this man. I wonder what had happened if he'd had a camera. And was he a paparazzi? Would he have wanted to take pictures of Jesus? Why did he? I don't know. He was curious. Climbed the tree, saw Jesus, had the encounter with Jesus, went to his home, and the man's life was changed. Now, there's Peter. We often give Peter a bad time. We say he was impulsive and he was kind of brash. But I think he was also very curious. He asked some bold questions because he wanted to know. He was curious. How about Mary? The angel, you will bear God's son. And she asked a good question, a curious question. I don't understand. How can this be? How can this be? The disciples on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection, joined by Jesus and in a conversation, and they're wondering out loud, what does this all mean? The one we followed was killed, and now there are stories about him being alive. What is it all about? And Jesus stepped into their questions and into their curiosity and introduced himself. Jesus himself was a master of using curiosity to teach and to change lives. Every parable we read triggers the listener to go deeper and to make a response. Every object lesson challenges us to look for the meaning. I'll give you one example of Jesus using curiosity. I invite you to open the Pew Bible to page 1052. This was a theme that was preached on many, 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 many times while we were at the biennial in Omaha just a few weeks ago. I don't think any of the preachers took this approach to the text, though. I don't remember any of them preaching about curiosity, but this was very familiar to us. But listen to it as I read, and just notice how Jesus uses this probing curiosity to win a heart. John 4, starting verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews don't associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman asked, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Do you see the curiosity use? Jesus initiates the conversation with a simple request. "Will you give me a drink?" And then he pivots into that mysterious offer. "If you knew who you are speaking with, you would have asked him for living water." And that sparked her curiosity. Where do I get this water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob? Her questions led to deeper revelations. Jesus didn't start with a sermon. He started with a riddle-like invitation. Her curiosity opened the doors to a conversation about worship and about truth and ultimately about Jesus as Messiah. And in that moment, we see that Jesus used mystery and curiosity to invite discovery. He stirred wonder, and he still does that to us. Have you ever used curiosity in your daily faith walk? Maybe in the way you read the Bible. We're reading the Bible in a year. Are y'all on track, getting there? Slowly but surely. At our house, we are using a recording from Tara Lee Koppel called The Bible Recap, kind of an assist. Does a short commentary on the passage of the day. And she has made the point many, many times in this period while we're reading through the Old Testaments that it is less helpful to try to remember all those kings' names and all the battles that were won and lost and to memorize the floor plan of the tabernacle. You know, it's a whole lot more helpful to read and just ask a simple question. What is this showing us about God? What am I seeing in the passage about God's character, God's purpose, God's plan, God's love? Those are curiosity-inspiring Bible reading questions. At his pastor's retreat a few years ago, the leader told about going to a Jewish school to learn Hebrew. And the teacher gave the students an assignment. And in keeping with his usual way of teaching the class, he told them the passage that they were going to be studying. And then he sent them home and he said, "You write 100 questions that come to mind when you read that passage." Now, some here have been a part of a class that I've led, and you will recall that we would take the gospel reading for the Sunday, and then we would ask of it as many questions as we could. I don't think we ever made 100 of them, but then we would use those to prompt our curiosity and dig in for further understanding. Curiosity meets Scripture. Another way of reading Scripture is called Lectio Divina. And in simplest terms, this very ancient way of reading the Scriptures is just to read and then pause with thoughtful questions in between the readings. So the first time you read through, you read the passage and let a word or a phrase surface. What stands out? Pause. Read it again. And reflect on that word and that phrase. What might God be saying to me through that passage, through that word, through that phrase? And then pause. And then read it again and do so with prayerfulness. God, will you answer my questions? Will you hear me tell you what I'm thinking and tell you what I'm feeling? And just spend time praying around the Scripture. And then pause. And then read it one more time and rest quietly in God's presence, letting the message settle in without struggling anymore with it. So it encourages listening over analyzing. It builds a personal relationship with God. It's kind of like reading love letters over and over and over again. You fall in love deeper and deeper with the one who wrote them. It helps Scripture move from our head to our heart. So here's some ideas of curiosity as you go to the Bible. Be curious to discover more about God. Be asking questions, not with a goal of knocking a text out of the canon, but to dig in, to be like the Bereans that we met earlier, to read the text more than once, and maybe join that long line of readers of the Bible as they read with the Lectio style. When it comes to spiritual growth, it can be supercharged with curiosity. I think Jesus was doing that when he told us about asking and seeking and knocking as a way for us to grow. I wondered how that looked, so I did some wondering, and I thought, well, look at this. He says, ask. Maybe that would suggest that at the beginning of the day, to humbly tell God what I need and what I desire, what are my physical, emotional, and spiritual needs, and maybe write one specific prayer request in the morning, honestly and expectantly. For example, God, help me reconcile with my friend. And then through the day, to be seeking, to explore, asking, God, is there a scripture truth? Is there something in a relationship, or just thinking back, maybe identifying one way that God could guide me today? Maybe it is through a Bible verse. Maybe it is through writing out some of my story. Maybe it's asking for some counsel. Maybe it's just going and doing some work. Maybe I could read Psalm 27 in this example of reconciling with a friend and just reflect on what it says there about fear. And then spending some time knocking. That requires some action, maybe some bold initiative, stepping out in faith and applying what God shows, even if the door seems closed. Do something. Thinking of the people and all the motorcycles in the hills and having for a while ridden a two-wheeler, there's something about when you're on the bike, if you stop and don't put your feet down, but just stop, you're most likely to tip over. But if you're moving, then you can direct. Once you're moving, it's easy then to adjust. Do something. Take one small action step on a day for something you've prayed about. In our example, maybe it would be sending a text or showing up and talking to the person, reaching out to the friend that I prayed for, even if I'm nervous. Ask, A-S-K. I think that's a curious way to do life day after day after day. Asking, what if? What if I start the day with prayer and I explore through the day and then I do something bold? I think that results in growth. And finally, tying it back to that research, curiosity can be a great starting point for our evangelism. Pastor Jason has been guiding a few of us through a book study this summer. The title of the book is Sharing Jesus Without Fear. That's been a challenge. And he gave us this Thursday off, but next week when we gather, we're to role play the style of doing evangelism. I don't know. Are we ready to do that? He's going to challenge us, but promise it's not scary. We don't have anything to fear. The author, William Fay, wrote this as his challenge in writing the book. He said this: how many times have you wanted to share your faith, but you didn't because you were afraid of failing? Success is not the result of bringing someone to Christ. Success in witnessing is living the Christian life daily, sharing the gospel, and trusting God for the results. The principle is simple. God does the work. We can't fail. It is all God's work. And in very practical terms, he teaches us, this once reading and studying, to use questions that determine where God is at work in the person's life. And I'd add that the questions are designed to cause curiosity to kick in. Want to hear the suggested list of questions? And remember, they're asked without arguing, just asked, and then we listen. Do you have any kind of spiritual belief? And then listen. To you, who is Jesus? And listen. Do you believe that there is a heaven and a hell? And then listen. If you died right now, where'd you go? And then, if what you believe were not true, if what you believe were not true, would you want to know it? And if to that question the person answers yes, then the model for sharing is to begin asking them to read aloud a set of scriptures. There are 7 of them. And to end each reading with another question: what does that say to you? And if they answer, no, I really don't want to know, then we bring the conversation to an end and let the next person who gets to place a little bit more of the seed with them down the road. We've done our part. The Spirit will work with what we've sown, and it's okay that it ends. Curiosity can shape how we plant the good news of Jesus in others. And it's a fun and a safe way, non-threatening. It takes away the fear as we share, as we evangelize. I would encourage you to get a copy of the book and read it. And if you get stuck, ask Pastor Jason to walk through it with you. So, curiosity is a good thing. The Bereans were praised for being curious. We see the benefits in everyday examples, science and faith. Jesus used curiosity, still does, in the parables, questions, relationships. Being curious about your scripture reading can bring the questions to the text. What do I discover here about God? Try the 100 question or less approach. Try reading with the Lectio method. Growth comes through curiosity. Ask, seek, knock. Sounds like a great way to grow day by day by day. And maybe even stretch into a new fearless evangelism that builds on curiosity. Maybe do the book study. And especially so, as we are, it seems, to be moving into a time in our nation where the younger folks, and I expect others too, are curious and open to exploring Jesus, asking, who is he? What did he do? What does he do? And what difference does that make to me? Well, I've come to the end. Somewhere along the way, I came across a reading of a commercial, and I kind of liked the way that it was done. And I tried to create one of these with the whole idea of curiosity. And I don't know if I succeeded. You can tell me later if I did or not. But here it is, and it's about curious Christians.
They see burning bushes and unanswered emails and divine timing in flat tires. They've been known to turn spreadsheets into prayer journals and road trips into pilgrimages. Where others say coincidence, they whisper providence. Curiosity isn't a hobby, it's holy ground. They are Christians, the most curious people in the world. Stay hungry for truth, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and never stop turning over stones.
I kind of liked it. But I want to end faithfully with a scripture. Let me sow this as our takeaway. It's from Philippians 4:8. And I think it speaks to curiosity.
They see burning bushes and unanswered.
I haven't trained him not to speak when I don't want him to. Philippians 4:8. We'll close with this. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually. I think that's the phrase for be curious. Think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and let them impact your heart. Be curious, Christians, my brothers and sisters.